can hear you. Well, welcome to the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast with middle-aged guys talking Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm your host with the jokes, Dabber, from the class of 1994 and from the class of 1998, your analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D.
What up, Dabber? Another one.
What's that?
Did you hit the reset button? Did you go get something to drink? Did Janice do something to at the 8 minute mark of the second half again? What was it? What did you do this time to bring home the win for the Ramblers?
I did nothing. I watched in disbelief. My phone was blowing up from Uncle Jeffy. Before the second half was done, or the first half was done, he was writing about the Sammy D curse on our team.
How could it be a curse? Because we've won. I don't understand what's a curse. Like, I can understand if we've lost all these games, then that's the Sammy D curse. But
I think when you saw all those threes clanking through the first two halves of this game, it seemed like something was cursed, like the rim was broken or something.
Well, no, you can't. The rim does not help you when you hit the front of it, That's what was happening.
I saw some air balls. I saw some shots that were. There was actually, Braden actually's his last three was such a dagger that I thought it didn't go in. I thought it was an air ball.
I thought so too. I had to watch it again.
I had to see the score change to go, because in the announcer, I don't even know if he said for three and he made it. I was like, did that go in? And I was like, yes, thank you. So I was in disbelief watching the first half and second half of that game, and then I guess the magic happened, the magic. So let's get right into it. What did you see during the game? Now, I actually studied the stat sheet because my eyes and my experience of the game were not totally matching up with some of the things I saw in the stat sheet. There was one particular couple of stats that jumped out at me. I know you're the analyst with the attention to detail, so I'll start with you. Tell me what you saw.
As I commented about the three-pointers hitting the front of the rim and not barely hitting the front of the rim and a lot of air balls, I saw tired legs. My former roommate, Pete Carroll, not the football coach, but Pete Carroll of Northbrook fame, he always said if shots are like that, they're tired. And that was true the whole game. And I don't know where Braden summoned the strength to bring it in the second half or in the two overtimes, but that was indicative of first half and the second half, where you saw the ball hitting the front of the rim and barely making it. That was definitely true for Schwieger and for Lucas. I mean, they just looked really tired and somehow made a way for it to pull it out, which was truly, truly an improbable feat.
Well, that was the phrase that the Ramblers website said for the last game, that it was improbable. So if last game was improbable, the Bradley game, which I don't think it was, I don't think the Bradley game was ever in doubt with me there cheering.
Yes. Definitely true.
I can hear you.
That is a good drop.
But last night, though, I was not there, and it looked pretty empty. I mean, again, we didn't have that.
You know what? I thought that, but it said by attendance there was more people there than the last game.
That's Cubs attendance numbers. They sold that game. They sold that game. No one showed up, though. And you want to know how I know? Okay. They put a camera at one point in the corner that I was at in the other night with all those right. Bradley fans.
Yeah, there was
not a person in any of those bench seats at all. So
yeah, there was nobody from Valpo either.
So there were hundreds of people in the stands at Bradley the other night in the corner, and when they showed that corner angle, someone went up there and shot a shot from the corner. That entire section was empty. Even the chairs I was sitting in were empty with chair backs. So there was no one in the corner at all. So that there was no way that was a bigger attendance than Bradley.
No, I agree with you. It definitely was. Nobody was there.
So I'm gonna can I share the couple? I'm not a stat guy, but there's a couple of stats that jumped out at me. Can I just share my thoughts?
Yes, you're learning, which is awesome to see.
Right. Well, here. I mean, obviously, in the first half, what was our 3-point? What was that awful 3-point
percentage
stat?
In the first half was 30%.
3 for 10. 3 for 10. I'm sorry, not the first half. The whole game. First and second half.
Oh, the 3 for 20.
3 for 20. Okay. So
I think they call that 15%.
Right.
If my I actually took a calculus class.
Okay.
I thought I was going to go to doctor.
All right. So so they put up 23 threes. They only scored three. Okay. How many turnovers did they get in the game?
9. I mean, how many did they get or how many did they give up?
How many did they get?
They, the 19 turnovers.
19 turnovers. So I'm just thinking in a game where you get 19 turnovers and then you go 3 for 20 for three, that's the story of this game. I mean,
well, yeah, well, and then three things. I agree with you. But the third one, and I think is just as key, and the reason why they were still kind of at least in shouting distance, they were 19 of 23 from the foul line.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, our foul shooting.
And, but Valparaiso, they only attempted 10. So they were 7 of 10. So that was key for them. I mean, the Ramblers in the first and second half were 14 of 16.
Yeah. Well, so my point about this is we were getting a ton of turnovers in this game, and we could not convert them to these threes. I mean, if you just make, you know, if you make three more, four more, there might have been a point where we pull away or,
right,
you know, something happens. They were in foul trouble, Valpo was, at different points. But, you know, when I look at points in the paint, did you know they were dead even points in the paint?
That's really surprising.
38-38.
But then I think that's indicative of the fact that it's like they recognize, hey, we're not hitting the three, so we got to drive to the bucket. And I think that's where they then got all the foul shots.
Yeah, but
that is impressive because their bigs were definitely going to town on us.
For sure. And then they made some improbable threes at different points in the game. I mean, there were a number of times where we played pretty good defense, you know, full. What's the shot clock at? 30 seconds?
Yes.
30 seconds. I mean, they played 29 seconds of defense and then a three went up. I mean.
Yeah, there were a couple threes that the announcers were just like, oh my God, like eye bulging, you know, way out there.
Yeah, we had a headband guy. We had Jimmy King's cousin. it was a real murderer. It was a real murderer's row on that other side. We had the,
and that's why I said this a couple episodes ago about who's the team that you're kind of like, it's like, this team is like, they're still learning how to play with each other because they have so much turnover from last year, where it's like, they're a dangerous team, and they were still missing their starting point guard. And it's like, I think this is a team to not take. I mean, I don't think we take anybody lightly in the Valley, except maybe Evansville. But it's just like, this is a team that's like middle of the pack, where it's like, I think if they figure it out in the second half of this, of the Valley season, it's like they could be dangerous. And then especially come the tournament time. And even, I think the announcers even said it, is that, you know, Lodic, their coach, is talking about, I'm not worried about the regular season. I'm worried about the tournament. You know, I'm trying to prepare for the, you know, the Valley tournament. And it's like, that's not good, you know.
Well, isn't this the team that has the Badgers on it? Aren't there three? Is this, yeah. There's three Badgers. And then there was another guy that they mentioned. Did they get a guy from Murray State or something?
Michigan State. Yeah, the Kithier guy.
Yeah.
Who he looked like, I mean, honestly, there are a couple of different points. I was like, they didn't say it, but I know they thought it, but I was like, that looks a lot like Krutwig. You know, same type of stat line, you know, 9 points. Nine rebounds. 7 points, 4 assists. It's like, that's a Crutwood game. And he looked good. And then thankfully he fouled out. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. There was a Crutwig mention. It's been a couple of games since the Crutwig mention. It was mentioned with Jacob Hudson. They said something like, he used to play against Crutwig in practice. What's going on here? He should be better than this, or something like that. It was kind of a little bit of a slight.
Yeah. Now that you said that, that was something too. There was a couple instances where, you know, they're like, you know, Hudson's getting pushed off the box. And I saw that too. It's like, I don't understand what's going on, but I looked back at the DePaul game and also the Arizona State game. And even there was another game there, but it was just like, he didn't look tentative in those games. Whereas this game, he's looked tentative the last couple weeks. I don't know if he's not 100% healthy or maybe still a little winded, but just like, he got pushed off. And it was just like, dude, you're just as big as those guys. And yet he would position himself on the block. And then by the time he'd get the ball, he'd be 3 feet out and all of a sudden not know what to do with it. It was just like, what, something's off. So I need to dig a little deeper into that, but yeah, it didn't look right. And hence the reason why he only played 14 minutes. And Chris Knight played 31. So
all aboard for Night Train.
Yeah. There we go. Two Rambler fans.
I was trying to think, man, we need something for this guy. We need we'll call him Batman or something. I don't know what we're going to call this guy, but he just keeps showing up in key possessions, cleaning up these sort of bad shots at different points, kind of doing the pick and roll or what do they call it? What's the thing where he, the guard and him kind of do that interchange and he gets it. You know, he gets it thrown in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's actually called something. And
pick and pop, is that it?
No. Pick and pop is you pick and then you pop it from three, and that's not his game at all.
Okay.
But it's essentially a pick and roll. But they have a special name for it, and I thought I heard him say it on the Blurs Bears or Bears Blurs in Belgium podcast where they happen to Krutwig let it slip, and so and Will Alcott yelled at him for saying it, but so there is actually a name for it, it's their go-to play where they run it 4 or 5 times a game, and there were actually a couple times where Marquise tried to get it to him and either overthrew him or tried to throw it, and that was it just didn't look right. But I think that was indicative of Valpo's defense, where they packed in the paint and were like, we're not going to allow you to score in the paint, which is surprising then that the Ramblers still scored 38 points. But like, their defense was like, and I think, and I'm not sure why then we were so poor from outside, but Yeah, I mean, their defense definitely inhibited our interior offense.
Well, I you know, I was happy to see that Marquise's brother Marcus was playing last night. He came out 5 for 9. He had some key possessions down the stretch where he was using his speed. Yeah. Marcus Kennedy, great job. One of my favorite Ramblers. I'll give grace to the guys who are calling him Marcus because I feel like I butcher Braden Norris's name once a podcast.
I think so.
I think, you know, and the other day during the Bradley game, I tried to get the crowd going. I kept saying, "Let's go, Braden! Let's go, Braden!" And no one was chanting it with me. So I don't know why.
Probably because it's too close to Brandon or whatever.
Okay. I was just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Braden Norris, Marquise Kennedy. Braden Norris, yes. Marquise Kennedy. I hear Ugwak. I hear Ugwak. Jacob Hutson. Hutson.
Yeah. Hut.
So we'll get it. Schwieger's the only name I don't have trouble pronouncing because our last name is Dobschutz. It's like it's the only name I don't have trouble pronouncing. Okay, yes. So let's get into the Matt Hawes hammer player of the game for heart and hustle. Who do you got, Sammy D? I'm gonna let you pick today. There was a little debate on Twitter about who the hammer player of last game was. My son Jaden picked Ahir Ugwak and then was somehow overruled in the podcast by Uncle Sammy D, who just gave it to
All aboard
Chris Knight.
For Night Train.
So who do you got in this game?
This is a tough one because each guy played a different factor in the role, but the hammer player has to be coming off the bench. So
no, he doesn't have to be.
I thought he did. Okay.
I mean, right. He doesn't have
okay,
to.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna go off script, and I'm gonna say the guy that no one has talked about, but I think in watching the game, there was something about it. Was I'm gonna go Tate Hall. Because he had a very, you know, not a robust stat line, but he was 4 for 10 from shooting, not stellar, but he was 4 for 4 from the line. He was 5 rebounds and 1 steal, and there was something about his game that. He played great defense at times, and it was just like I loved watching him. Just he's like really he's accepted this role of coming off the bench, and as a part of the I don't know what you call him, not the B team, but just like this team where it's like, hey, we're gonna come and bring energy and defense for that second team, and I you know, Knight got a lot of praise. Obviously, Braden was just phenomenal. Marquise was like at different points just jumping out of the gym. But it was like there's Tate Hall, like it just grit, you know, heart and hustle. That's his game in a nutshell. And so I'm going to give it Tate Hall.
Okay. Well, we haven't given it to him this year. And this is just as good a game as any to give it to him. I mean, obviously, you could have just said, you know, hey, I can't ignore Braden Norris in the overtime. You can't. I mean,
right.
How did those shots go in? I looked at that one shot from the Loyola script, you know, where he was on the L.
He was on the L. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it looked like he, you know, did like a mini squat and then pushed up with his legs to get that ball in. I mean, he really planted and I don't know how he got that ball in. And then, you know, some of those other ones, that especially that dagger, the one that we didn't know if it went in or not.
Yeah, it was just so pure.
Obviously there was heart and hustle there. But Tate Hall for sure was in a lot, 31 minutes. And he was definitely in a lot of those crucial situations down the stretch. So
yeah, and then especially as they decided, hey, we're going to go with a small team lineup. So with Ahir being the five and Tate being the four, you know, he's then required to guard either Cricky or Kithier, and it was serviceable, and it was like, hey, we're going to go with this small lineup, and we can still play and still be effective. I thought that was really awesome, and it really speaks to the team's, again, heart and hustle.
Yeah, a few different times I saw the Beastie Boy lineup out there, Braden and Tate and Schwieger all playing at the same time. So I definitely saw that. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Let's talk about the JB's giant play of the game. Now, we've now confirmed through Twitter that the JB's still sells the giant, just yes, like they did back when we were in college.
90s callback.
So, you know, we used to order the JB's giant for Monday Night Football, yes, and you remember,
and WCW
and you
Monday Nitro,
exactly,
90s yeah, callback,
and you reminded me something that was the funniest thing that I can't believe I forgot. The pizza box is so big, you have to do this little tilt to get it, yep, in the door. You have to just tilt it about 30 tweak degrees. So you can get it through a normal frame door.
But not so much that then it falls.
Well,
but
no.
Just enough to get it through.
Just enough to get it through. Just like, just like on Friends where they're like, you know what? Pivot.
90s callback.
Pivot the pizza. There's a couple Gen Zs who are like, what is this? What are they talking about?
Is that show my mom watches? Yeah. Friends?
No, you know what? Friends. A lot of those junior folks all watched it on what's that?
TBS.
Netflix. Yeah. No, Netflix.
No, or now Netflix.
It was on Netflix, and it was the number one show on Netflix with The Office for the last couple of years. So
that's true.
I don't get it. I tried to watch it. I didn't like it back then. I don't really like it now. It didn't age better. It didn't get better. Yeah, all of a sudden.
Mama Bear is a big fan of it, so I watch it.
Who's Mama Bear?
Yeah, Julie. We call her Mama Bear.
Mama Bear. Okay. All right. Whatever.
We're the Bears. The Bear family.
Okay. Well, she's a Browns fan, though. I don't get that. Okay.
It's
all right. Go ahead.
It's Emma.
Go ahead. Emma. Let's go for our JB's giant play of the game.
I'm going to go. It was about the – I want to pull it up because it was such a phenomenal play. It was – 6 minute – around the 6 minute mark. Oh, here it is. 6:36 on the dot. Marquise and his cousin Marcus, they – Valpo's got the ball.
Brother Marcus.
Marcus. They got the Valpo's got the ball, and it was Aaron Gordon's is he wasn't in the game very much. He played a lot of role last year, but this year, and he's kind of holding the ball. He's kind of directing traffic, and all of a sudden Marquise just poof, just kind of taps it, and before you know it, he is literally. I think he took three steps. And it was at the rim. I mean, it was. I think he literally took one dribble because he was just. He literally was like a gazelle, and you know, tapped a ball and is up above the rim and whoosh. And it was, you know, at that point a 6 point game, and at that moment was just kind of like you had that feeling. It was like they're still down, and they ended up, you know, they ended up going back up by eight. But it was like we're gonna win this game. We're going to come back. We're going to tie it. You know, it's just like we're chipping away. And it was like, that was that moment. It was like, we're still in this game. And it was like, at that moment, you're like, Marquise, you have to take over this game. And I think there was a couple moments there where he's like, I'm going to drive to the basket and will it. But that game, definitely JB's giant play of the game, Marquise Kennedy with the steal and the two-hand flush.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There was this point that was a good example. There was a point when Loyola just turned up the defense just enough. There was pressure there. You know, you could name a couple of those turnovers at the end of the regulation. Right. There were two huge inbound pass turnovers where
back to back where they
throw the ball in and then it hits the guy's hand and goes out of bounds. It's almost like they you couldn't script a better turnover. Like,
yeah,
this guy's not going to catch it with two hands. If he catches it with two hands, game might be over. No, he's going to try to, I don't know, one-handed or something, Randy Moss it, and I don't know what they were looking to do with the one guy. It went right off his hand. So a couple of those, boy, those don't go our way. We're toast. Right. So, but it was that intensity of that defense. There was this point where it felt like they were just – Marquise in particular was really the announcer was saying that he was harassing or really irritating who he was covering. So there was
there were a couple instances where their point guard
you mean the walk-on point guard? They kept telling that story. The walk-on point guard.
Yeah, who ended up. No way he had just one turnover. That's just not possible.
Well, the walk-on point guard, you know what he was responsible for? That technical after he scored, and then it led to us getting two shots and the ball, score again. It was a four-point – that was a four-point technical. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
The walk-on with the technical. He'll learn. What a lesson. Yeah, he'll learn on the way on the ride back to Lansing or wherever.
What's that town that they're
Valparaiso.
In?
Valparaiso. They're in Valparaiso, Indiana. Okay. I mean, it's the name of the town.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So the Crusaders are getting...
The Beacons.
The what?
They're Beacons. They're a lighthouse of... truth and justice or something like that, the American way.
They'll always be the Crusaders to me.
90s callback.
I'm kidding. I knew they were the Beacons. I just thought it'd be funny if he corrected me.
Yes. I'm trying to see where that technical foul thing was.
Yeah, that technical foul. It was towards the end of the first I keep saying the first half. I mean the end of regulation. So
It was the end of regulation, but
It was big. It was big.
Huge. Yeah.
So, well, there we did it. We've broken down another game, another improbable win by the Ramblers. And what's next? What's next on the schedule? I'm trying to look over here. My glasses.
Saturday, at Indiana State, the Sycamores, who had an improbable loss against UNI, Northern Iowa, came back. They were down double digits, and they came back and won in overtime as well. But I had two things that I wanted to address that it's been kind of on my to-do list. And one is the ranking. Twitter has just been blowing up the last couple weeks with like rank Loyola or hashtag rank Loyola, which I love that. But Coach Drew addressed this after the Bradley game, but just like he goes, they don't care about rankings. It's nice, but it's like, I don't, okay, who cares if we're ranked or not, or where we're at versus, you know, Illinois and that kind of stuff. But it's like, if we win the rest of our games, it'll take care of itself. Who cares if we're ranked, you know? And it's just like, I think we just need to get over it. The people that really, you know, that really care about basketball, you know, analytics folks, you know, they see the value and the proper respect for what Loyola is, but just like the AP, it's like, it's a joke. Who cares if we're ranked? Let's just move on. And then the second thing that I did a little historical research, cause I do have my degree in history from Loyola University, Chicago. Shout out to my professors there. Dr. Guilfoyle, you'll appreciate this one. I did a little research on, the school that is a lot of times compared to Loyola, or Loyola would like to be compared to them, is Gonzaga University, fellow Jesuit university in Seattle. And I kind of look back and like, when did they kind of like turn the tide? And I realized it was when we were in school, and like the early 90s is when they had their first winning season.
Callback.
Exactly. Where they turned it around. They had a couple, two coaches before the present coach, Mark Few, where they had basically prior to 1991, they had won 21 season in the previous 40 years. So similar to Loyola. And they went from in 93 to NIT, NCAA, NIT, NIT back to back in 4 years. And then they started making their run where NCAA in 97, or I'm sorry, NCAA Elite Eight in 99. And then since then, they've had no less than 25 wins, or they've had 25 wins or more, except in one season when they had 24 wins. And so I want at least some perspective for Loyola fans. We're all stoked about the last 5 years in particular.
I heard they're undefeated when Joe Cravens calls their game.
He's on them like, you know, red, like freckles on a redhead.
That's like nailing jello to a tree.
But I just want to offer some perspective. It wasn't until 6 or 7 years into that run that then, you know, the Gonzaga started really getting the praise that they deserved. And they were winning 25 to 30 games a year during that stretch. And we're only 5 or 6 years into what we've started, the turnaround. And so it's like, folks, let's have some perspective and let's enjoy this ride. Stop being, you know, like, oh, we should blah, blah, blah. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Let's enjoy the ride. And, you know, yes, we'll laugh at the Bradley fans and Illinois fans and stuff along the way. But just like, let's enjoy the ride, please. Let's enjoy this.
Sammy's Rant is brought to you by White Hen at Pratt and Sheridan. 90s callback.
I had to get that off my chest.
I hear you. And you know, one of the phrases I love, I've always loved this, act like you've been there before. Let's just, exactly. We're already getting credit for, you know, getting to the Final Four, Sweet 16. I just was watching the Bulls game last night, or two nights ago. Maybe it was last night. Watching the Bulls game last night, Loyola gets some comments. They mention on a regular basis how Illinois lost to Loyola because, you know, Io DeSumo is talked about. His jersey was retired by Illinois.
What did he do?
He's the ninth leading scorer of, like, Illinois history or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I just was like.
He was better than I guess we thought. We weren't really following him until, you know, one game, basically. So
Anyway,
Io got his number retired, and they were talking about that. But, of course, they always throw in the Loyola beat him, you know. So and then they were playing Cade Cunningham, and they got beat by Murray State or whoever, somebody else.
They got beat by Oregon State.
Oregon State, exactly. And so it was so funny because they were saying, well, this is the matchup that we thought we would have last year, except Oregon State Beavers took care of business and Loyola beat Illinois. So so people remember that we beat them. And yes, not only that, another interesting thing, Stacey King is so excited about Porter Moser going to Oklahoma because that's where he went. And so Porter got some love. Porter got some love last night.
Coach Moser. Yeah, Moser. Yeah.
So, and I was waiting for a Valentine reference. I assume that would be next, but that didn't make it in there. Hmm. My point is, the world sees us. You know, I'm getting, you know, people, when I say I'm from Loyola now, outside of this area.
Yes.
Outside of this area, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Now, it was interesting. I had picked up some furniture on Craigslist the other day. I had my Loyola scarf on, my Loyola sweatshirt, and my Loyola hat. And the guy goes, oh, are you a Loyola family? And he meant Loyola, the high school.
Right.
Exactly. Which just drives me ridiculous. There's nothing I hate more. It's like, finally, we have a national rep as a basketball team. Again, people know us. People know Sister Jean, the whole deal. But around here on the north side, people are like, oh, Loyola Academy. Ugh. Yay. You know,
to Loyola Academy's credit, they've had better success in the last 30 years than Loyola University Chicago.
True.
So, again, we need to earn the right, to, you know, for this price.
But it's you imagine walking around, for you Loyola fans who live outside of this area, you know, can you imagine walking around with Loyola gear and people are like thinking you're repping your kid's high school?
Yeah.
And I know it's sort of annoying.
I agree. I agree.
All right. Well, I think we've done it. I think we've done another episode of the Two Ramblers podcast. It's entertaining middle-aged guys talking Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective.
I'm your host. That's what I gave you today, folks.
I'm your host with the jokes, and that guy talking over me is the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D. We'll try to get it.
Ramblers.
No, he does it again. We'll try to get it better next time, and I'm going to mute this guy so he doesn't talk over me. All right. Sammy, have a great week. Say hello to the girls for me. You know, tell them to put up the little wolfies when we shoot free throws, and we'll see you after the Sycamore game.